Hi, welcome to the Nonprofit Mastermind Podcast, where every week I do a deep dive into the strategies and mindset behind launching, scaling, and leading a high-impact nonprofit. I'm your host, Rick Ritchie Babbage. Working to make the world a more just and beautiful place is messy, complex, heart-wrenching, and ultimately deeply joyful and fulfilling work. And none of us can do it alone. That's why I started this podcast, this mastermind community, to hold space for and share the learnings and the questions and the grapplings and the actual concrete strategies that allow us to move our social impact work forward together. So welcome to the mastermind. I'm so glad you're here. One of the trainings that I offer is called What Got You Here Won't Get You There. It's one of my most favorite trainings and topics, and actually one of my most popular trainings and topics, because it's all about growth and how growing, once you get close to the seven-figure mark, looks and feels really different than when you are just starting out or when you're growing a smaller organization. That phrase, what got you here won't get you there, is true about most things in life. And when it comes to the growth of a nonprofit, I actually think it's particularly true. For those of us who have worked to grow a nonprofit, especially a small one under seven figures, the irony of that process is that the success of certain strategies and approaches often result in our continued, sometimes over-reliance on those strategies and approaches. The things that worked to get us to, say, $500,000 worked. We saw them work. We did them. And here we are. We are raising money. We have a board. We have individual donors. We have funders. We have programs. It's working. And believe me, as someone who has founded multiple nonprofits and coached many founders, that is a double-edged sword, right? What can actually happen is that we resist new strategies and approaches because we haven't seen them work. They make us feel clumsy. They make us feel vulnerable and more at risk. We want to keep doing the things that we have seen work, but unfortunately, just like with any growing organism, an organization that is $1 million is not simply a $600,000 organization with more money. As that organization grows and matures, it becomes a different organism. It requires a different type of design, different leadership, different staff often, different board, different allocations of time, and definitely different strategic approaches. And so the irony, going back to the irony, is that the success of what we did can actually undermine our continued growth after a certain point. So that's sort of why I am doing this series. In this mini series, and I'm in episode 2 right now, I'm offering some concrete focus points, a set of questions to ask to make sure that your approach to growth continues to be smart and strategic at each stage of your organization's development. Now, in order to do that, I recommend, and I talked about this more in the first episode last week, focusing on the stage of development that your organization is in, as opposed to its budget size, the number of years it's been around, the size of its staff or the size of its board, right? Size as a metric. And I specifically recommend using the nonprofit lifecycle framework. Now, it's a framework that describes the process by which organizations grow and decline through specific changes in their systems, processes, and various elements, how they're made up. My argument is that if you want to grow your organization in a way that keeps you stable, that is sustainable, you have to do the right things at the right time. Right? There's an order of operations. And so you want to focus on getting familiar with the characteristics and the benchmarks of the stage that you're in, nailing down the goal of that developmental stage and asking the right strategic questions that will allow you to move to the next stage. Now, if this whole idea of smart growth is resonating with you for wherever you are right now, You may want to do a deeper dive, and I have a free 4-part webinar series called Focus on Growth, where in each episode or each webinar, I do a deeper dive looking at growth strategy, organizational design for growth, budgeting for growth, and board development, all with an eye towards smart growth. So you can get that entire webinar bundle for free at richiebabbage.com/focus-on-growth-bundle. In the last episode of this podcast series, I described the idea and the startup phase. And I shared a link to the template of a launch plan, like a business plan template, where I walk through the questions that you really want to answer in that idea and launch phase. It takes what I talked about in terms of milestones and benchmarks and goals and strategic growth questions, and it turns it into a really easy to use business plan template. And if you fill it out, you will have a really solid plan to guide your launch and startup phase. And you can get that at richiebabbage.com/nonprofit-launch-plan. So that was last week's episode, idea and startup phase. In today's episode, I want to talk about childhood. My childhood, your childhood. No, I want to talk about the childhood phase of an organization, the stage of development where the organization first begins to walk and talk on its own. That is separately from the founder or the group of founders, the group of people who started the organization. So the first question you want to ask at any stage is, what are the key characteristics of this stage? How do I know where I am? I want to pause for a moment before I dive into the key characteristics of the childhood or post-startup phase and note just two really important things to remember. The first is that the process of growth is never orderly. What I mean by that is that you may find that your fundraising is at one stage of development while your board is at an entirely different stage of development. You may have a board that still very much functions like a startup board, or you may be in the idea phase of a new program. It's unstructured, it's unformed, it has the characteristics of infancy that I described last week. But at the same time, your funding may be more sophisticated. It may be in its early teen years with clearly defined donor audiences, and you're doing consistent, effective asks throughout the year. So that happens all the time. I am describing these growth stages as organization-wide, and particularly for organizations that are new or in the first, say, 3 to 6 years, all of these stages, all of the sort of elements that I'm talking about may grow at a similar pace, but it is not uncommon for the different elements to grow at different paces. Which leads to my second point, which is that because of this, you may find that these stages aren't linear across your organization. The organization may be at a late adolescent stage as a whole, and then lose a large chunk of its board, or undergo a leadership transition, or decide to expand nationally, right? Make a really significant change in its core programming. And that means that certain elements of your organization are like children again, right? They're rebuilding, they're relearning systems. What you had in place that was working stopped working or needed to change. That's another shift in your developmental stage. And that's why I think focusing on external or superficial markers of growth or development or readiness for certain things, like the size of your board, that can just be misleading because those things will change and will shift. If we learned anything over the last 3 years, there are so many beyond our control events internally and externally that can totally change the fabric of our organizations. And so this emphasis on stage of development and really breaking it down to understand that different phases of different parts of your organization can be at different stages of development may be helpful in allowing you to sort of notch down and get even more targeted and intentional about the questions you're asking to grow different parts of your organization. So I organize the characteristics of each phase in terms of three parts of an organization. And I talk about these three parts in my architecture of impact. I have many earlier episodes that talk about the architecture of impact framework. It basically organizes every organization into three core elements or buckets: clarity, capacity, and capital. Now, looking at your organization within these three buckets will help you to stay nimble in assessing where you are and growing at the right pace and, like I said, in the right order. So back to childhood. The overall characteristics of this phase are that it is organic and focused on responsive structure. For the first time, there's an institution that is more than just an idea and that is separate from the founder or founders. This institution has its own distinct legal requirements, its own funding needs, its own staffing needs. It is its own organism. And much of this childhood stage, this post-startup stage, is really about figuring out how to actually be an institution, how to build the bones of what will grow into a strong, lasting organization. The organization during this stage is nimble. Very often, innovation, testing, and refinement are really core to programming. There's a short, tight feedback loop between program design, evaluation, and refinement. And there's a heavy focus on programs. Programs drive much of the mission-based work. Because this phase is fast and nimble and shifting, the goal, the strategic goal of this stage should be definition. It wouldn't make sense, for example, for the goal to be growth. Aiming everything at growth before the fundamentals of your infrastructure are in place would only lead to burnout. Instead, you want to cement the key elements of your infrastructure, your staff, your board, your finances, and then intentionally grow what is working, which is what happens in the early growth phase. But before you can get to a growth phase where it makes sense and is healthy to think about scale or growth in any real way, you have to go through a phase where your goal is defining what works. There's a great tool that I recommend using for this kind of intentional design. It's called an organizational design tool, and it can really be helpful in structuring your thinking, whether you're going through this as a post-startup organization, or like I said, if you've gone through some kind of change internally and you want to rethink or engage with the design of your organization, it can be really great to use this organizational design tool. I have a free organizational design toolkit that you can get at richiebabbage.com/organizational design tool. It's basically a step-by-step process of defining or designing each element of your organization. And it's great to do, like I said, at any stage of development, but definitely in the early stages, as adding definition to things is super, super critical because they're inherently sort of shifty and can feel chaotic, right, as you're going through this post-startup phase. So what does adding definition look like? Well, you want to begin to define your strategic direction. This is different than a plan, an operational plan, which very often during the startup phase, you are just mapping what you plan to do. In the next year, we will do these five things, right? These five activities. That's great. When you are shifting from infancy into childhood, you want your objectives, your work to be more organized, to be more purposeful. You want to ask yourself, what are we testing in our programs? What outcomes are we looking for and why? How does this work relate to our mission? What are we learning that we are good at and not good at? What have we learned that we have ready access to or do not have access to? All of this information allows you to be more strategic, right? It allows you to say yes to certain things and no to other things so that there's a prioritization that goes into your operational plan. Right. So again, to distinguish between an operations plan, which is essentially a list of activities, things that you will operationalize, and a strategic plan or an early strategic sense of direction, is that the strategic sense of direction weighs pros and cons. It begins to prioritize. It begins to say no to certain things based on information that you've taken in. And as you go through the post-startup phase, you have more information. So that's a key level of definition that you're adding, a strategic definition. During this stage, your finances and your fundraising are also becoming more defined. You start to have more standard expenses, and those expenses are going up. You need to hire, your programming is becoming more expansive. You are going to very often have sort of back office or overhead expenses as you grow. So more robust fundraising becomes critical. Getting clear about your value proposition, what you do really well, getting really clear about who your ideal donors and funders are, how to get in front of them, how to talk to them in a way that makes their affinity for your mission super clear. That's all defining your fundraising strategy. And finally, capacity. Capacity is people power. This is your board. This is your staff or your team. This is the network of structured relationships that you have as part of your ecosystem that goes beyond your board, advisors, mentors, et cetera. In this stage, your capacity focus is really around defining the roles for a team and defining your role for your board. So I'll talk about team first. You want to get clearer about the work that needs to get done for the organization to continue to grow and how you can build your people power to get that done. So at this stage, you want to be thinking mostly about execution, hands on deck to accomplish critical tasks. This will often look like a small staff, part-time, temporary, contractors, fellows, and interns, very little role differentiation, but much more definition about the work that needs to get done. On the board side, the key is definition here. Also, your startup board still won't look like a full-fledged governance board. You're shifting out of the startup board phase, but you're not going fully into the sort of governance board that you might picture in your mind with fully functioning committees and officers like a treasurer and a secretary. I see a lot of organizations sort of rush to that level of professionalization. And you know, the best thing that I can say is it's just not necessary most of the time at this stage of development, as opposed to the launch phase where the board is really helping you form. During this childhood phase or this post-startup phase, your board should begin to have its own work, its own fundraising responsibilities, its own role in crafting financial health policies, helping to draft initial HR policies, really taking on the governance level responsibilities of adding definition to the institution. Now, as you think about each of these buckets, your strategic clarity, your fundraising, your finances, your staff, and your board, think about them as limbs of the same organization, the same organism, part of the same whole. Ideally, they work together, but they are distinct. So as you look at your own organization, ask yourself, do any of these characteristics in any of these three buckets resonate? Do they sound familiar? Is our financial infrastructure, how we understand our own financial health, how we approach budgeting, our fundraising, is it still in need of definition? Even if you have incredibly well-defined strategic clarity and a high-functioning staff, are you still using cash in the bank as an indicator of financial health, for example? Or are you still basing your budget on last year's budget rather than on next year's strategic vision? Right? These are often indicators of greater clarity or definition needed, being needed within the area of finance and fundraising. That's just one example of how you can be more developed in one area of the organization than in another. So if the goal for this phase is definition, and that plays itself out in the ways that we discussed, then the final question you want to ask yourself is, okay, so what needs to happen for us to be ready to transition out of this phase? What does it look like to achieve that goal? What's the next best set of milestones for us to be aiming at? Transitioning out of this phase requires emphasis on intentionality and a focus on growth. A long-term strategic plan, not just for the next year, a fundraising plan that is strategic a growth budget that's about growth, not just what can we do with the money we have, right? An actual emphasis on budgeting for the vision that we have articulated, even if that requires raising significantly more money than you've raised in the past. The emphasis on intentionality and focus on growth also means developing an intentional map of staff roles that begins to differentiate between roles and levels. You'll start to see directors versus associates and the growth or development of a leadership team that really owns entire workflows. On the board level, you'll start to see a more structured plan for board self-governance. So that's the childhood phase, the post-startup, but before you're ready to focus on growth phase. In next week's episode, I'm going to do a deep dive into growth stage organizations. And there are really two phases of development that are all part of the growth stage. Early teen years, sort of teen years and young adult years. And growth stage organizations are often spoken about as sort of one thing, a monolith, like, oh, this is a growth stage organization. This organization is growing. But they're actually two very important different phases of development. And there are significant distinctions between the two. So I'm going to dive into those next week. And until then, have a great week. And I will see you back here next week for more Mastermind. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode of the Nonprofit Mastermind Podcast. If you liked this podcast, I would also love for you to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you think that what we talk about here could benefit another leader in your life, please share with your friends. Finally, if you'd like more leadership in your life, you can sign up for my weekly 5-minute read, Leadership Forward 321 newsletter. I send articles, resources, and inspiration every week curated around a leadership theme to help you lead your nonprofit better. You can sign up at richiebabbage.com/leadershipforward321. That's it for this week. Thank you for joining me, and I'll see you back here next week for more Mastermind.